Three, two, one.
In-depth creative.
All right, sorry.
Audio first storytelling. This is a story about Dimas. He grew up with high expectations of himself.
Okay, let me just try.
His grandfather was the right-hand man for Sukarno, and his father served Suharto as a 3-star army general. And little did Dimas know, he would also be a soldier. Just in a very different form.
I'm Indonesian commando. I'm from Indonesia. And I'm gonna take the belt from your champion.
This is Anita. You're listening to Indonesia In Depth.
Before we continue, we just want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by In-Depth Creative, Indonesia's first independent podcast production company that produces immersive audio stories and thoughtful essays in English and in Bahasa Indonesia. We partner with brands and creators who want to meaningfully engage their audience through audio-first storytelling.
Waikiki Beach Hotel. Aston Waikiki Beach Hotel. Waikiki Beach Marriott. This is your stop.
This is Hawaii, 1997.
My name is Muhammad Ari Iman Santoso, but right now I'm called Dimas Suyono because I'm using my nickname Dimas and my father's last name Suyono. Well, the first 12 months, actually, almost 1 year, I'm just learning English because at the time I'm just zero English. And then mid-1997, I think I can go to the university and then start learning hotel management. However, after that, about almost 1 year, the monetary crisis happened, right, in our country. That's what kind of struggling a little bit after that. They said that I must come back because my father.
And Dimas was a hospitality student back then. But when Indonesia was hit by the Asian economic crisis in 1988, he started to look for a job to get some extra cash. But although he eventually found someone to sponsor his studies abroad, he was already in the middle of a new, unexpected job.
And then my dad also can finally support me again for school. And then after that, it began the story of the professional wrestling after that, when I'm looking for a job at that time.
And learn this way. Set position. Fabian on the whistle will get up to his right, off of his forearm, into fighting position.
We have to do a wrestling routines in the ring, such as take bombs, rolling circles in the ring, and then running between ropes, like that, etc. And then at the time, because while I'm training, sometimes I'm wearing an army look. I'm wearing camouflage every time because I have a lot of clothes, like army clothes like that, yeah, like pants.
Here we go, spread out. We got bodyweight squats. Bodyweight squats. Here we go.
The promoter and company, the WLW, Lars Anderson, is that? And he asked me,
Hey, Dimas, we're in the army or something like that back in Indonesia. I mean, that look, it suits you. You know, we don't have many characters from outside of the island. But what if we put Indonesia into your character's name? Or how about something like that? You know, you're in the army or a mercenary or... Maybe you could be a superhero from Indonesia, you know? I think that would kind of work. It's your look, man. You can't speak English very well, but, you know, at least you can become somebody who's gonna take over wrestling and Hawaii, become the champion, and you know,
because in Indonesia we have like a shirt, it has a writing, Commando is like that, and that's what I'm wearing.
So Dimas is all set with his broken English, army camo pants, a black shirt that says Commando, and a patriotic mask inspired by America's WWE wrestler Rey Mysterio Jr. He is all set to be his first pro wrestling character.
So then it becomes that character, Indonesian Commando. I'm Indonesian Commando. I'm from Indonesia. And I'm gonna take the belt from your champion.
Indonesian Commando is in the ring. Indonesian Commando is out of the ring right now.
Well, Indonesian Commando is the first wrestling gimmick, yeah, that they give me, the character. The promoter and the company, the WLW, Lars Anderson.
Dimas was a wrestler at WLW, or the World League Wrestling, an independent wrestling promotion created by Lars Anderson in Hawaii. It later changed into Island Extreme Wrestling Federation, or the IXWF. And the name says it all. It's the type of wrestling that's known for their extreme antics.
He's kind of hot-headed, so always yelling and always yelling with Indonesian language, and then brooding type of guy, but very patriotic, because always bring either Indonesian flag or picture of Garuda Pancasila or something like that. Yeah, surprisingly, at the time in Hawaii, they know Bali, but they don't know Indonesia. They think that Indonesia is part of Bali.
Because we wrestle a lot in a Marine Base Corps, so a lot of them is like a soldier also, yeah, a Marine soldier there. And we have a small event there. Or if we have a big event, usually we have it either in Waikiki or a small area in the Kalihi, like that. Probably if a soldier, usually a Marine that watch our show, sometimes they know about Indonesia. Some of them, they went to Indonesia for either something. It's not mission, or probably they went to either Jakarta or Bandung, like that. Yeah, some of them knows, but the majority, they don't know about Indonesia.
That's why I try to bring some, you know, like my entrance music. At the time, I'm using Indonesian song, like Indonesian metal songs. They just like, what language is this? And then some skit, I always interview with Indonesian's language also.
Indonesian Commando akan menghancurkan tilemu, akan ambil belt darimu. Jolly All Black, I came and I will take your belt, because you know that I'm gonna be the next champion. Dari cinta, dari luka dan dari waktu untuk berbagi, untuk berbagi.
To the army is my childhood dream, actually. Yeah, because of that, probably I'm quite happy with this character that Lars Anderson gave me. But at that time, my parents don't know, so probably that's what worries me at that time, because I don't want my parents to know that I'm wrestle and I'm become like a soldier like that. Yeah, I don't want to my dad to become angry all the time.
Either 85, 87, around there. The first time we have a RCTI, a TV swasta, a cable channel like that. They have WWF at that time. And I'm start, you know, watching it because it's a like a Saturday morning cartoon, yeah. I'm still in the elementary school, actually. I like to watch Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior at that time. I'm not thinking about that. I may be become a professional wrestling in the future. No.
My teachers asked about what you want to become in the future. I always said I want to become soldier. Until the high school, I still want to become soldier. I think it's running in the family. Yeah? My grandpa, it's also a major general back in 1940 something.
His grandfather was Mayor General Sugandhi Karto Subroto, who was a loyal aide to President Sukarno at the time.
Yeah. My dad also is a lieutenant general. My dad at that time is a graduate in 65. That's why when there's a problem with the communists, my dad is one that also in that time.
And Dimas is right. Affection for the military clearly runs in the family. The patriarch figures in Dimas' life were generals who were trusted by their superiors and present during some of the major events that transform the country. Dimas' father is Lieutenant General Suyono, who was first deployed during the peak of the communist purge in Indonesia.
Between me and my dad, it's always like, it's like a soldier's life, yeah? Because if my dad said something, I have to say yes. And I cannot say no, because, yeah, I look up for them.
You know, going through Dimas's and his father's photo albums on Facebook is like going through a mini museum of Indonesian presidents and the military leaders. There's so many intergenerational photos in black and white, then switch to faded color photos, and then back to sepia photos, filling the rows and rows of the feed. There's young grandfather Sugandhi, who was being pulled aside by President Sukarno in some sort of event, and then the young father Suyono, in his army uniform, in what looks like his first desk assignment. And sometimes, we even find black and white photos of his fallen comrades. And of course, there's Dimas. One of the photos shows Dimas as a little boy, smiling as President Suharto and the First Lady embracing him with a festive bouquet.
This is back to 1996, yeah? And at that time, I'm planning to go to military academy in Magelang, Center Java, yeah? But sadly, at that time, my parents have a disagreement with me.
Lapor! Acara serah terima jabatan! Menata nama dan unit genderang suling sangkal.
I went to Magelang already, to the academic school. And I already enrolled it, and I already take the test at that time.
Waktu tes adalah 120 menit.
And then suddenly, like in the middle of the test, somebody just calling me. He's a captain, I think. And he took me to the one of the office and said, hey, yeah, you just stay here, you want drink.
Have a seat over there. We'll be right back with you.
And I saw my friend already took the test at that time. That time is around like 8 o'clock. And then after past 9 and then past 10, I was like, all my friends at that time already took the test, and then I'm still hanging in his office. And he's like, what happened here? And suddenly, like, Captain Samsul just came, and then he said, like,
there you are, Dimas. Your dad just called. We regret to inform you that he told us to eliminate your position here.
Because at the time, my dad is stationed in Semarang. So Semarang and Malgong is kind of this area. That's why he's like, probably he just tell the headmaster there or that my name got eliminated from a military academy. But after that, I don't speak with my dad for almost a month though, after that, because I'm so pissed off at that time. Well, probably my dad against it because he realized or he knows about what's coming in the future at that time. Because he knows there's something wrong with our Indonesia at that time, the situation before the crisis. That's why he predicted if I'm entering military at that time, probably by the time I become a soldier at that time, they will send me into a Timor or something. My grandpa is really, care for me so much at that time. Then after he passed away, and then my mom is like, really took care of me because she knows that my grandpa really loved me. And then she said that, I don't want you to become a soldier. And then probably, if something happened, you're going to be in the battlefield or something like that. And because at that time,
the predictions did in fact come true. The next few years after Dimas graduated from high school, Indonesia went through some really tough times. Social unrest that led to reformasi, separatist movements, and the bloody battles in Timor-Leste that led to its independence in 1999. Dimas had always wanted to be in the military. Actually, he wanted so much that he would wear his army track pants and t-shirt to his wrestling training when he was in Hawaii. Little did he know that the wrestling promoter would pick up on those things and make him exactly that.
And finally, I can become a soldier or military, but in the ring though, only. When my mom visits to Hawaii, usually she always like checking on my cabinet, and she found out about the mask. She said, what is this? And it's only for Halloween. I said, yeah, only for playing characters, because my mom knows that I like action figures. So, probably it's just one of my collection.
We deliver Pizza Hut. Hawaii's favorite pizza.
And then
delivery.
When I went to school now, at night, suddenly she just like, she flipping channel in TV.
And Filipinos at Farrington High.
Come into Blockbuster and use and, for great entertainment.
And then she stopped at the local channel. Well, she's cooking at the time. She realized that the one in the wrestling match at the time is me. And she's furious. She paged me.
Where are you? Just come home. Now.
When I come back home, she just furious. She said that I recognize the shirt. I recognize the mask. And then she told me, are you the one that wrestled in the show? Before I said that, no, but Because me and my mom, actually, we have a strong connection, actually, until now. And she knows that when I'm lying. And she just keep asking until I said, yeah, it's me. Why do you do such a thing? And then, I'm just looking, try to get an extra cash. And then she call my dad, call my grandma also. My grandma is furious. And then just, if you're not stop, you have to going back, blah, 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 like that. And then my dad is like, he said that, just be careful. I know you like martial arts, you like sport, but just be careful because if something happened and then we are not in there, we cannot visit you every time, probably only once a year. Or and if something happens to you, what we gonna do? And then it just makes me think like that. Oh, okay. And then after that, I become more, careful in the ring. And then I never doing something that can have a big impact for me.
But the ring, it turned out to be a powerful magnet for Dimas. It kept pulling him deeper and towards danger. Now we're back to the ring. Indonesian Commando rose from being a rookie to a rising star in televised matches.
As Indonesian Commando, you're still a babyface. How was your stats like? Your statistics, do you win a lot or do you lose a lot?
50-50 actually at that time. Sometimes I get win because I'm a good guy, or I'm just like, I become a jobber who lost for the opening match.
But after several years of being the good guy,
something has either crashed into the World Trade Center.
At that time, same like New York, United States, or we're afraid of the terrorist attack, yeah?
Did you see anything hit the building, or did it come from the building?
That's the bomb, I think so.
Something hit the building?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
And then it became, I cannot say it's an Islamic phobia at that time, but still, they just afraid that people with the name of Muhammad or like a Muslim name, people who have a Muslim religion, they kind of afraid.
After the 9/11 attacks happened, it didn't just create fear and paranoia. It also made people acquire an unexpected interest in Dimas and his identity.
That's why at school also, they asking me those kind of question that am I belongs to those kind of group? Or I said, no, Indonesia is not that kind of terrorist like that. I said, my friend, one of my best friend, actually, his name is Frank. His character is Final Solution. He start to, make a joke about it. And then he calling me like Osama, because he knows that my name is Muhammad. And then he just like to doing joke. He start calling me Osama, and then we just joking around.
One time, because he works in a YMCA gym in Hawaii, I want to pick him, have a lunch with him. And then when I arrive at YMCA, and he saw me, and he just shout out loud, "Hey, Osama!" And everybody just look at me at the time. They just like kind of surprised or afraid, I don't know, but they just like look at me, and then I'm just like, "Shh, don't say that." I'm just like, because I'm so afraid that people are gonna hate me. And Frank just keep joking me, yeah, this is my brother Osama, and calling, I don't know why, he just like keep calling me Osama at the time.
But then one day,
This guy,
his name is Parrish Holweather, the scriptwriter guy who would sometimes do interviews with the wrestling characters on TV.
Interview the character in the TV.
And he told Dimas,
Hey, Dimas, you're from Indonesia, right? We can do something with Indonesian Commando. I mean, like, how about we turn you into a heel? And then, you know, we can reveal that Indonesian Commando is a terrorist working with Osama. And you're already a mercenary, man, so, I mean, I think it could work.
And then after that, the story goes on.
Yeah, man. I mean, for your role, you could say that you're sent to Hawaii to destroy the island, and you could become the head of a terrorist group or something like that, man.
They start to ask me to change the character, like, I'm attacking other guy, just suddenly I'm just like going into the ring in the middle of the fight, and then I just attack one of the good guys.
And then on the next event, actually, they just ask me, Dimas, you just go to the ring and then just say bad all about America. I went there, I'm just like interrupt the match, and then I beat him up, one of the guy, and then I start asking for the mic. You know what? I have enough of this company. Shit! They never give me a chance to fight for heavyweight belt. Now it's time that I'm gonna destroy this company. I'm an Indonesian commander. I'm gonna tell you the truth. That I'm working with Osama bin Laden to destroy Hawaii. They start throwing balls at me. It happened in the Marine Corps base.
Just like any other stories, stories written for the entertainment industry capture universal human emotions. When certain emotions resonate with a lot of people, that can make them into even better stories. After 9/11 happened, many Americans shared the same palpable fear, a strong sense that a villain is out there attacking out of nowhere, and that a hero is needed. And this hero versus villain kind of narrative is perfect for professional wrestling, where every storyline is scripted with a good versus bad guy, the baby faces versus the heels. So when the producers see that they can exploit these tragedies for attention or for profits, there's no question that they will pursue such storylines. And the consequences is that the bad cycle of stereotypes is continuously produced and amplified. And this happens more often than we think. Like in wrestling.
Disgusting, General.
He mentioned it about a storyline about Hulk Hogan versus the Sheik, Iron Sheik at the time. He's probably like that, he said.
I don't have a clue, Sergeant. What that general said is that is it such a great pleasure that a man...
It's a Gulf War storyline.
Okay, just let me watch some of the tape first and then I can work it from there.
In comedy.
How is this possible?
It's supply and demand. Here you have a tall, blonde, Christian American, and here we have a camel-riding, turban-wearing terrorist.
Hank, I was born here. I'm as American as you are.
And movies.
I knew one day I'd be called upon to serve a greater good. To serve Allah.
It is also during this time that Dimas started using steroids, thinking it would help his performance. He was moody in the ring and easily irritated, pulling him into the character tropes even more.
Later on, after a while, after probably about 4 to 6 months after that, yeah, it's become... They asked me to become more violent. Attack some wrestlers, other wrestlers, and then keep cursing about America.
My finishing move is like almost like the rock bottom. It's almost like that when we catch our opponent and then just leave it up and then we slam it into the mat. Yeah, it's like that.
Big one! Third rock bottom! A third rock bottom! A hook of a leg!
But we call it a ground zero.
At one time, it became hostile. Even when I'm coming out from the locker room to the ring, somebody's really hate my character, because 60% of the audience is either a soldier or they have their family in there. So yeah, it's kind of hostile a little bit. When they get into it, and they tend to hurt me for real. Very dangerous at that time.
Did your mother or father, what did they think of your new character?
At that time, only my dad, yeah, probably. Just asking me that, yeah, just be careful. Because he also in the military. My dad is, at the time, he's a general in Indonesia. And he said, like, please don't, with your character, please don't give our army a bad name like that. He just like, just be careful. And then I said, it's okay. I said, this is only like, I'm doing it not like politically. I'm just like doing the stuff for just like yelling or something like that. No, so no, I said that he has not to worry about it.
Yeah, I got a lot of wins, but in a bad way, yeah, because it's not a true championship match, but it's just like I'm just ruining somebody's match, or either I'm just like, just the purpose is hurting others instead of a true match like that. After a while, I don't want to become this person, because some of wrestlers from experience, I met some wrestler that they feel that they cannot separate between what is his life on stage and real life. They feel that I'm this character, and then I don't want to be like that. My feeling about the Indonesian Commando characters is already like become bad, yeah, at that time, because I feel that I cannot develop this character no more. I think like
they must play the terrorist Indonesian Commando for over 1 year, before he moved to a new promoter named Linda Bade from the Hawaii Championship Wrestling.
In the next morning, I went there, I met Linda, and said, yeah, actually, I'm kind of fed up with the storyline of IXWF.
And until the end of his wrestling career in 2004, he was given a fresh new character. It's called Rottweiler, the Mad Dog from Jakarta.
It's come up from you, or just like you just don't want to work with IXWF no more? And like, yeah, I'm kind of tired with it, because I never get pushed again.
I don't know when Miss Bad Kitty turned into Referee Chico, but Referee Chico doing everything he can to restrain this wild man from the Far East.
Being a quote-unquote soldier, just like his father and grandfather, maybe wasn't for Dimas.
Tonight, in the Bell Hawaii, Rottweiler, gonna be on it. They turn me loose. They let me go. And they say, now you're gonna compete to destroy somebody.
But even though it's not for him, he still found a way to still be a good man.
Unlike Mike Tyson, he said, I'm not doing it. Rottweiler never deny, never will deny. When there's violence, there's Rottweiler. When there's crime, there's Rottweiler. I'm gonna destroy Ultimate Carrizo tonight.
This episode is produced by In-Depth Creative, audio first, storytelling. We want to especially thank Dima Suyono, the Indonesian commando who passionately shared his fascinating experience and be the voice of this episode. If you enjoy listening to Indonesia in-depth stories, then you would definitely love Panggung Pikiran, our new podcast that features stories like Indonesia in-depth, but exclusively in Indonesian. Go check them out on your favorite podcast players and let us know what you think. Thanks again for listening.